Oops. Hola, Jajonde. I just realized I don't know how this fucking goes without the cords.
Hola, Tizonde.
Hola. I saw him at my Trader Joe's.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Tizonde just goes to Trader Joe's whenever he wants. Hey, you know what? Fuck it. We don't need an opening
number.
Semen quest. Welcome to Empath of Least Resistance. My name's Annie Hardy, and today I'm here with a special guest co-host.
Hi.
His name's Kevy Mental from the band Fake Shark.
Hi.
He's a Canadian rock superstar.
Canadian boy.
Yeah, he was a Canadian boy.
Bjorn. Peter Bjorn and John.
Ray Zumping Robinson. How does American Girl go, I want to know.
The Kanye West song? With
You'll be my American boy.
I like that
American
song.
Girl. They're all so good. Yeah. Anytime you get America up in the mix, it's like a good thing.
Yeah.
And especially if it's optimized for iPhone. What? What does that mean?
The best Kanye West lyric is when he goes, yeah, had sex with a pharaoh, and I put the pussy in the sarcophagus. That's a good lyric, tight. Right?
That is tight. Man, I hate rap people. They're always using the craziest chords in their shit.
Yeah?
E major 7, 7 major 7?
Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck you. Is this a black thing? Because I tried to play a Frank Ocean song, and it was, like, almost impossible.
It's the first time you've listened to music in 5 years.
I know. Just to listen to that Chanel song, and it was, like, it was literally next to impossible. Sometimes I think maybe I'm honorary a black person because one told me that once.
Yeah.
But then I try to...
One told you that?
Yeah, one black person told me that one time. Is that racist?
No.
Her name was Jessica. She was my... she actually, when I was in boarding school in 10th grade, she would make me rap Doggy Style by Snoop.
Great record.
And if I would make a mistake, she would hit me really hard.
She had the lyric book in front of her?
Yeah. Or maybe she just had it memorized. But it made me pretty tight rapper, I think.
Well, you are. You freestyle for me constantly.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I do love a nice freestyle.
Yeah.
And I love to rap.
Yeah.
Even at Christmas time.
Okay,
I
gifts.
I love rapping gifts.
I get it.
It's fun to me, but that's just me. I'm crazy.
Crazy about Christmas.
Crazy about Christmas and crazy about narcs.
Yeah?
Whom I...
Love them?
I hate them, actually.
Oh, the opposite.
My opposite. Well, to opposite of love them would be to nothing them.
Okay.
I'm trying to nothing them because there is a saying that what we fight against, eventually we become.
Mm.
So I've actually already been a bit of a turned narc, which is not the same as being a natural-born narc killer.
Okay, that's why I'm a clown.
That's why you're a clown?
I'm just fighting clowns.
Oh, yeah.
Driving around clown town without a license.
Without a crown.
Clowns with crowns.
Oh, man.
This is already the best podcast.
It is. It is. And one of my frequent topics du jour is narcs, a.k.a. narcissists, for anyone whose first time it is listening. Now, if you don't know what a narcissist is, there are 9 traits of a narcissist that make you a narc. One of them is being, like, someone who's very dishonest. Another one is being manipulative. Another one is being exploitative of other people. And another one is having, like, you know, just, like, hectic personal interrelationships and with people, which we all kind of have a hectic that, but maybe not all of us. Maybe I think I'm the same as everyone else, but I'm very much a freak, different. Okay. If only for the reason that I'm not a complete narc piece of shit, and the rest of the world seems to be becoming one.
Was that 9?
That wasn't 9. Do I need to look it up on the phone?
No, I just was, because I think I told you this, but my mom and I were looking at this list you're talking about, and we realized that my biological father, who I haven't seen since I was a young teenager, had 9 out of 9.
That is called a dark
piece of shit.
Yeah, a dark piece of shit. Is your mom or dad Asian?
My mom is half Japanese.
Oh, so you're a quarter Japanese.
Quarter.
I see. And yeah. what was your dad?
A little disappointed, are you?
I was hoping you were more Jap than that, to be honest.
Okay.
But it's cool. My friend Jasmine is Japanese, so if I put you two together, you guys would...
Well, then she shouldn't have the name Jasmine if she's half Japanese.
She should have it only if she's Indian.
Her name should be Japsman.
Japsman.
yeah, so I'm Japanese, Irish, and German.
So an inner battle rages
right.
within.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
A lot of racism going on.
Inner racism.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I'm as Jewish as Hitler was.
Really?
But I'm on my mom. Yeah, I'm not. My mom's not the Jew, so I'm only a heritage Jew.
Okay.
Because the Jew comes from my dad's side here.
Okay.
And they don't, because the Jews don't trust women. Sluts who could have fucked someone else.
Shiksas.
Your mom has to be the Jew. Otherwise, they could be lying about the dad.
Oh.
Even though the dad always looks like 50% of the kid. You know, trust me, I've thought about this before. Okay, so here is the list. You always try to project a false image.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissists know themselves better than anybody else, and they have a very hard time accepting their failures or the things they perceive to be less than perfect.
Okay.
This is why they're trying to create and project a false image of themselves, one that's very difficult to maintain in the long run. A narc will always try to impress those that surround him, and he tries to make himself look like some sort of trophy on all levels. It's not uncommon for them to use various people or objects to try and maintain a certain status or impression, both of which are often exaggerated to a great extent. They feel and act superior to those around them. Unless they're a covert narcissist, then they feel and act inferior to all those around them.
Okay.
They always have a grandiose personality. Well, these people obviously don't know about the covert narc, but that's another episode.
Mm.
They get pleasure when they put other people down.
Mm-hmm.
They have a hard time displaying emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissists only listen to reply. I've experienced this a lot.
Yeah, that's really frustrating to talk to someone like that.
They're just listening for the key words so they can tell you a story about how they were a fat dork in high school or something.
Okay.
Or whatever their thing is. Each narc I see has like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It says narcissists always take their achievements a mile further.
Okay.
That makes sense. I've heard that. Narcissists always talk down to people. I believe the shit out of that. Oh, narcissists always put the blame on those around them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was just telling you a story about a certain music producer who did that.
Yes.
Whose name will not be said.
Their name is Snorri. you thought I would say it, but I won't. Okay, that was not, however, the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic Statistic Manuals.
Sounds like a microphone.
Yeah, the DSM-5 sounds so tight and sharp.
Sounds like a drum machine.
Okay, so this one, is this just another article?
Mm.
Okay, no, this one's real. Arrogance and domineering, yeah, arrogant qualities, will assert one's own ideas over others in an air of superiority and pride. Funny enough, when I went on Google to find an image of arrogance, mostly came up with a vast collection of businessmen sticking their noses in the air. This not only confirms the unfortunate stereotype of businessmen, but also reminds us that people with big egos are mostly found in corporations and businesses. Maybe. Number two, grandiosity, to feel superior. Oh, preoccupation with success and power, a lack of empathy, belief of being unique, a sense of entitlement, require excessive admiration. Hi. Exploitative. Narcissists have a defining characteristic of being exploitative, meaning using others for their own gain or advantage. Their lack of empathy could be thought to fuel this aspect of them. Along with the other characteristics, the urge for engaging in exploitation is one that could prove as a threat or pose a danger for society and those around them.
You know what's interesting about that list, though, is the thing about not what was the thing about emotion and not having it and maybe not seeing it in other people? Did you say that?
I was talking about Asperger's with that.
No, but in that list you just said there was one. But
there was lack of empathy.
Okay, that's the one.
And funnily enough, empathy is the one thing that makes us all human. So right. They lack it.
Well, the thing that I've seen in the few that I grew up with is they can act very emotional, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like which is confusing. Like my biological dad would act. He considered himself a sensitive person, but there's no way he could have been.
Right.
You know?
Because you're perpetrating the most heinous, evil crimes that somebody who possesses empathy would never do. Because they'd be like, they would hopefully have the self-awareness to be like, I'm being a dick.
Did I tell you the thing I found out about me having a half-brother that's like almost the same age as me? I thought I told you this.
No, is he black?
No.
That would be tight if he was black and he was like your half-twin.
It's Japsman.
Japsman, sir.
No, I found out like maybe 2 years ago. It's weird because when, like I did some writing on a couple Carly Rae Jepsen records.
Mm-hmm.
And when she sort of got super famous, it's weird because I was sort of like, you know, loosely affiliated and I wrote, it's not like I produced the album or anything like that.
Right.
People still kind of came out of the woodwork a little bit, even for me. So I can only imagine what she was dealing with.
Right.
But certain people said that they were related to me. And then they weren't.
Really?
They just wanted money, basically.
What?
But so that happened a few times. And then this one person said, it's weird, like, it was an Instagram comment. It wasn't about anything.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like, hey, did you grow up in Langley? Like, you know, people post something on your comments of your Instagram and how insane that is when it has nothing to do with anything. And then it turns out he is my half-brother, and he's close to my age, and my dad raised him and me at the same time, and we didn't know about each other. Like, it's almost impressive.
No, it is, because that's what narcs do. They have the ability to be dating at least two people, and they won't just be honest about it.
Yeah.
They have to be deceptive, and they have to be... because I feel like pulling it off is part of the joy that they get their kicks from.
Okay.
And so, like, to be doing something that seems... And you think, well, he sleeps with me every night, of course.
Mm.
Like, it can't be what I think. It can't be what I think. But it is what you think. And he is raising your half-brother right down the street and calling himself Harold, or maybe his real name.
Right.
And you're like, what?
He even had his mom babysit me sometimes.
What?
Like, how brazen.
Wow, that's so narc. That's so narc chic.
Yeah, he's just cool with that. Like I said, it's almost impressive. He did get away with it until now.
Wow. but you haven't talked to him since you were how old?
No, like 15.
And is that because of you or him?
Yeah, I left.
You're like, fuck you, Dad.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Fuck you, Dad. That's been my whole life. That's my outfit right now. My color.
That's my ringtone. Right now. How do you sing this song?
What are you learning over there?
I'm trying to learn.
I believe I can fly.
I just met you.
Oh, you're trying to.
This is crazy.
Oh man.
You're my half brother. So call me maybe. It's hard to look. At you, baby. Even though you look so much like me. Call me maybe. Did you call write this song?
I wish.
I do too.
I'd buy all the Indian food for us tonight.
And then you could fucking play it for me so I could just sing it.
Yeah.
That's my one day dream, is to be a lead singer.
I think you've done that.
I just met you, but one who doesn't also play instruments.
Okay.
This is crazy. Here's my number. Call me maybe. It's hard to look right at you, baby. Here's my number. Take a number, please. What if that song was just about taking a number so you
price
can rail
check.
Me?
Price check. I'll sing.
Hey, I'm having guys run a train. So take a number and bone me maybe.
Oh, shit.
Not maybe, but for sure. Give me AIDS, please. Here's my number. You're number 469 tonight, boy.
It's been a long night.
I might not feel that one. Maybe. Call me a slut, maybe. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Maybe I should be, maybe my name is Scott.
Oh.
It's hard to say what it is I see in you. Wonder if you'll always be with me. You know that song, words can't say and I can't do enough to prove it's all for you. I feel like some Canadians wrote that song too.
I don't know that one, but I feel bad for anyone named Scott right now.
90s song is what that is, one of the bad ones. Like a bare naked ladies, watered down,
super Canadian
garbage. Hard to see when it is I see in you.
I love that the bare naked ladies were like the quintessential sort of like harmless college rock, and then it came out that dude had a huge coke problem, and then they kicked out the singer, and then just continued on, and then now he joined and they did a children's album.
Cocaine lullabies. That's so crazy.
Canada.
Oh, Canada. I told you the other day that every time I try to think of Oh, Canada in my head, it's Oh, Holy Night.
Right.
But with the words, Oh, Canada.
I just like how much you think about my national anthem, the hockey you watch.
It must be. Or all the hockey and loogies that I do.
Oh.
Canadians are weird. They're like Americans, but not.
How so?
Well, you guys sound like Americans, unless you're disgusting French Canadians. Yuck. Ugh. Sac le bleu.
Sac le bleu.
But you guys sound like Americans, except when you say about, and we're like...
You noticed me doing that?
No. Mm. But you did say a once.
I did? I think I said hey.
You said... Hey, I just met you.
See?
And this is crazy.
I just talk exactly like Carly's songs.
That you should. I like to pick one of my friends a month and only speak in lyrics from their songs.
That's a good move. Right now it's Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, because I'm a cokehead with that guy.
So close to him.
I was trying to show you something. I got sidetracked on these devil machine phones of ours.
Carly Tab?
Carly finger tapping, yeah. Does Carly Rae Jepsen finger tap, do you know?
8-finger bass solo.
Oh, that sounds so tight.
She's in Dream Theater now.
Dream Theater, I believe you can get me through the night.
Sick Wayne's World reference.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
You've never even seen Wayne's World,
have you? I have.
Have you seen Wayne's World 3?
You know, no, I have not. Like, good thing I didn't say yes. You tricked me. But
you've seen Newsies?
Oh, Newsies. I've seen 700. Oh, yeah, you heard my episode of Doug Loves Movies.
I tried to, like, give you a layup.
I know, and I missed it. I just hate movies that much. You know, Joe is always giving me shit, because Joe's, like, into making films now, telling me, like, you gotta watch, like, movies as, like, a piece of art. And I'm like, no, I don't, actually. I don't want to. I couldn't care less. I hate movies, because I hate to be...
abandoned in 2 hours?
Oh, yeah. Shouldn't have told you that.
I like that point.
Yeah, they do abandon you, but whereas your television shows go on for years.
Right.
My favorite show of all time, 90210, the original, obviously. I told you about the time I dreamt that I was, it was when things were getting kind of dark. I was taking a lot of painkillers, and I fell asleep, and in my dream, I was in a wheelbarrow in the episode of 90210 that I was watching on TV, and nobody talked to me. They looked at me and acknowledged my presence.
That was good enough.
But that was it.
Okay.
But I woke up from that and I said, and my leg was draped over the back of the couch, just like I was in the same position as I was in the wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
I woke up and I go, oh my God, this is the best day of my life. Keep in mind, that was like, I think the same year I played Reading and Leeds. I was voted number 50 coolest person by NME. I was having a great run of it.
Right.
But that was the best day of my life.
That's so cool.
That is not cool. That's very depressing.
That's so cool.
I think that's what happens when you're on a downward spiral. I think I had turned into a narc after being with a narc, and I was a couple years away from dating the narc, the dark triad narc, which is narcissistic personality, paranoid, and antisocial. personality disorder.
Interesting, because when I think of narcissists, I think of them not being paranoid. I think of them being confident.
Well, they're paranoid because they always think that people are out to get them. Okay. Like, people are always talking about them, or people are always out to fuck them up. Mm-hmm. Like,
I guess it is very narcissistic to think that, isn't it?
Yeah, to think that everything's about you is totally narky, and that's what makes a lot of crazy people go crazy.
Right.
Because it's like, bro, get over yourself.
I've had moments where I felt targeted, though.
Oh, you might be. You might be, and I might be, targeted individuals. Targeted by our very own governments or certain church establishments, if you dare to speak out about them in public, they will make you what's called organized gang stalked. And that's where it appears that an entire community is like stalking you or out to get you. Mm-hmm. Like, people have theories about organized gang stalking. And the people who do it the most are a certain church. Mm-hmm. That I won't mention because even I'm afraid, but they're created by a science fiction writer.
Okay, and Stephen King.
Yes, the Stephen King and I.
The It Church of Clowns.
The Church of Pennywise. And then
the band.
Yeah, and then there's just the plain old government who likes to organize gang stalk people who are think outside of the box and speak, you know, have any sort of public platform, or just people who are living outside of the societal norm. Mm-hmm. They want to make you kill yourself, basically.
Okay.
But that the fact that that is the end game for them, they will first ruin your good name amongst your peers.
Right.
They will then discredit you, saying that you're on drugs, or maybe you are on drugs, but they will say that you are, and they'll just spread rumors. You'll meet new people, and people will be, like, all into you, but then you never hear back from them, or they avoid you next time, and it's as if someone's reached out to them and said something.
Hmm.
And other crazy shit that happens is, like, walking down the street, you'll have complete strangers or, like, homeless people scream out personal information of yours, or, like, they'll be acting out a play of, like, your own life. It's called street theater. And it's like, how could they just even know about that? This just happened. But then we find out the government has had, since the 1970s, the ability to send people thoughts, read their minds, and, like, basically to fuck with us in directed energy weapons and all kinds of stuff like that. Although I think there is a big spiritual aspect to organized gang stalking. Because what do demons want in life? You to kill yourself.
Demon food.
Demon food is you having negative energies, which they create a bunch of by gang stalking you. And then the ultimate, like, demon, like, jizz is to have you just kill yourself.
I kept thinking you were going to say gang star.
Gang.
I thought you were going to start talking about that.
Gang banging.
Okay. Also, I think outside the box, too, because I'm abstinent.
Cause you're that's a good one.
Thanks.
I do, too, because I am not a lesbian.
Lisp.
Lisp. I'm a lesbian.
Yeah?
Yes. Can't you tell?
No.
I have a lisp.
Yeah.
Okay, but what were we talking about before? I can't find the webpage that I was on.
You're just looking at Carly Rae Jepsen tabs.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy.
You wrote me a voicemail on that one, and I still have it.
I did? That's tight.
Yeah.
Good for me.
Yeah. We were talking
about narcs, right?
Yeah.
Something about, I wanted to read you something, and now I can't find it because I have literally 4,000 open tabs on my fucking shit over here.
Okay.
But it was saying something about empathy that I thought was interesting, and it was saying that, oh, I found it. Yes. Oh, no. This is a Huffington Post article about what successful people do.
Oh, no. It's just a Serena Ryder tab.
It's just a Serena Williams tablature.
Yeah, when she wrote a song called About Tennis.
Anyone for Tennis.
It's called Sibling Rivalry on the Court.
You know that those are actually dudes, those two chicks?
Those two?
Those two chicks. Michelle Obama, what's that bitch from Friends?
Courtney Cox. I mean, it's right in the name.
No, Jennifer Aniston.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. I set that one up perfectly for you.
You alley-ooped me.
Alley-ooped slam dunk.
Kobe.
Kobe beef. Motherfucker, where is this shit?
Hey, do you remember my nickname for you?
What was it?
The black Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, the black Kobe Bryant. No, I do remember. I knew it had something to do with Kobe, but I didn't know what.
Kobe teriyaki beef strips. That's your other nickname.
Kobe cherry turkey.
Cherry turkey?
Cherry turkey is my favorite member of the Runaways.
Aw, cute.
I know, right? Okay, it was said basically that narcs don't know that they don't think like other people, like... and another like common thing with them is that they will, because they don't actually have the same feelings as regular humans, and this all comes from your parents not mirroring you properly growing up, I guess. And so they will look to TV and movies, another reason why I hate them both, and to kind of know
how to act.
How to act. And so they'll have, you know, movies and TV are pretty true to life, but then sometimes they are obviously not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the narcs will show themselves. And they love to one-up.
Like, oh, yeah.
I told you the story about the one guy who I told him the story, like, oh, isn't it cool that our friend who shall remain nameless... you know, let his gay friend suck his dick just to make sure he was not gay.
Yeah.
And this guy goes, you think that's cool? Check out this story. And he goes into this epic monologue about how he's down at the beach waiting for a drug dealer, and drug dealer shows up, says, hey, who's going to let me suck their dick tonight? And he sucks one guy's dick. And then in this one-up story, there is a one-up story. And his friend's getting his dick sucked by the drug dealer. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, not, he's a bit too much. And so the guy telling the story goes, and then I said, I think he means do it like this.
Whoa.
And I sucked the guy's dick.
Yeah.
And then we all sucked each other's dicks and we left.
Sick.
Sick.
Sure
dick.
Showed us.
Yeah. And I was like, man, that is a much better story than this other guy's.
Man.
Thanks. I'm going to write a song about it.
The first guy was like, oh, man.
Man, I'm not gay at all. This guy, though.
My technique's shit.
Yeah. Well, I wish you should have taken your super blowjob guy classes.
You suck a mean dick, sir.
How do you? You're just born with the natural ability to suck dick.
This is what we always talk about.
I know, it is.
Yeah.
Now people will be listening, I guess.
Yeah, let's hashtag it sucks dick and it'll get so many plays.
It's so many because that's all anyone wants to do these days,
or at
unless
least
they're
hear
a lesbian.
About
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they're thinking outside the box.
So I'm wondering if the female, because I've heard this, you've, okay, so your dad, narc, ninth degree, the highest you can get.
To the nth degree.
Ninth degree.
N stands for ninth.
Ninth degree narc.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I would say that 100% of, or most of your girlfriends in your life have been narcs.
Yeah, I'd say I've had maybe like six relationships, and I'd say about half of them.
Half of them? Well, that's a pretty, you're betting or batting good.
Yeah, I'm actually friends with half of them still.
Yeah.
And still think they're pretty quality people, and I want them in my life. And then the other half ended on really bad terms. And it's crazy. It's like when, you know, when you're in the middle of something, you only really realize how bad it was once you're out of it.
Right.
And those were like examples of that. Although there have been ones where while I'm in them, I'm like, I gotta get out of this.
I would say that's even worse when you like come to the stark realization, like, oh, fuck.
One of them I was telling you about, a girl who, she moved to Canada from England.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about this roughly, but she never broke up with her boyfriend in England. And then she moved in with me and we're like dating for months. And I knew something was weird. I knew something was like
that's
wrong.
The first feeling that you have with a narcissist. You just feel something's off. There's no evidence.
Totally.
You feel it.
And I felt more depressed than ever in my life
in
that time when I just didn't know why I was feeling that way.
Right.
And then it became this challenge to keep her, even though I knew she was like not a quality person, you know?
And maybe destroying your life.
Yeah, it really was. Like, I hate to put the blame on her, but it was like,
no, that's what it
me so horribly.
Yeah.
And I remember actually when we were dating, we were walking around Vancouver, which is where I'm from, and we'd bump into people and they'd be happy to see me. They're, you know, just people, friends of mine or whatever, people I know. And she'd be like, It's weird how, like, everyone likes you.
It's weird how
I didn't think about it at the time, but that is maybe the biggest red flag possible.
Yeah.
No one likes me.
Yeah. Well, because they have these relationships with others that are, like, explosive. So they don't usually have long-term, long-lasting friendships that they carry on. Right. It's real rare to meet somebody that's still friends. I'm still friends with my best friend from first grade, Renee.
Yeah.
We don't have that much in common anymore, but I still take a bullet for Renee. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm still friends with people I've been friends with. I'm not friends with a lot of people who turned out to maybe not be my friends and maybe were my friends because I was so cool back in the day.
Still cool. Go on.
Thank you. But not everyone knew. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew back then. Now, not everyone knows. Okay, so here's some seven signs that this bitch, like, this is what you need to pay attention to next time you start dating a hoe.
Okay.
Is every conversation about her?
Right.
While it's fine to talk about yourself occasionally in social settings, a true narc will almost exclusively talk about herself or will constantly be attempting to steer the convo back to her.
I mean, that's A number one, right?
Yeah.
That's like one of my least favorite qualities in people.
Is me-centricness.
Yeah.
Number two, is she constantly canceling plans with you? Conflicts happen, but often when a woman is a true narc, she pathologically refuses to commit to prior engagement.
Drives me crazy.
She doesn't care about the impact on others. She never even thinks about your ruined evening or your disappointment. All she wants is the freedom to do whatever she wants, whenever she wants. Oh, I want that freedom. That's one of my narc traits, no matter how it impacts the people around her. And I guess while I'm saying that, all of us have narcissist traits. To some degree, it's healthy, but it's when you start displaying exploitativeness of others and hurting other people in your interactions, that's when it's bad. But everybody, it's totally normal to display 3 to 4 narc traits.
Well, I guess it's kind of like addiction. It's like, you know, liking drinking is one thing, but when it's affecting your life and people around you. Right?
Precisely. Good one.
Thank you.
Number three, how does she react when you say no? This is one of the easiest ways to detect a narc, male or female. When they ask you to do something, say no. It doesn't have to be hard, a hard no. You can just delay your response or say, I'll get back to you. Narcs hate these kind of responses. They don't like other people exerting influence on their self-centered spheres of existence. If you know a woman who loses her mind when you respond in the negative, she definitely has some narc qualities.
This girl sounds like a bitch.
I know. This gets even worse.
I can't wait to marry her.
I know. Does she regularly flirt with people she doesn't like? Ew. How can you even do that? Flirting is a fun thing for adults to do, but narcs use flirting as a tool to get what they want.
Ugh.
This is particularly apparent if you know a woman who's constantly trying to use her charm or sexuality on people she's not even interested in, sucking their dicks.
On the beach for a drug deal.
Yeah.
dude.
No, that was just for fun. It wasn't for the drug deal.
To one up.
That was, yeah, you would think. Okay, narcs think they're the hottest things on earth, and that inflated sense of self-image makes them believe that no one could ever resist them. Thus, they flirt as a form of manipulation because they can't imagine any man or woman who would not be totally seduced by their feminine wiles. Feminine wiles of the devil. How does she talk, number five, how does she talk about other people in her life? Narcs see themselves standing on the top of the social pyramid with everyone else firmly beneath their feet. The attitude can become apparent if you listen to how they talk about others. Does a woman in your life always refer to other people as idiots? Does she call her friends sluts and morons?
Oh, man.
Does she always...
I know this one.
Or does she always question other people's intelligence, but never her own? That's classic narc behavior. We all have the occasion to rip on our friends from time to time, but if you know a woman who's always doing that, never showing any signs of empathy or self-deprecation, she's probably a narc. I love deprecating on myself all the time.
Oh, shit. Literally.
Yeah, self-deprecating.
That one.
Pass me a diaper.
That last one, I dated someone who very much had that trait.
Lack of loyalty. Number 666. Does she ever accept blame?
Ooh.
Ugh. Exactly.
This one.
If she's running late, does she ever apologize, or was it always the fault of traffic, your directions, or someone else?
Oh my goodness.
I know. Narcs have a real problem with culpability. They don't like admitting that they're ever at fault for a mistake or a problem. Their worldview doesn't support a reality where they could be wrong, so they always deflect blame and argue that someone else or a factor beyond anyone's control caused the problem.
Mm.
You will rarely, if ever, hear a narc say, "My bad."
Or, "I'm sorry."
Yeah, or, "That's my fault."
What's the opposite of a narc? Because I think I apologize too much, and I feel too bad about...
The opposite of a narc is a codependent. And
that's
me, too. And it's also an empath sometimes. Okay. Empaths are...
That
like,
sounds better. Maybe that's me.
Yeah, do that one. I mean, it's both, really. A lot of empaths are codependents because we're trying to heal everyone and fix everyone.
Yeah.
You know, you and I both have this Captain Save-A-Ho-ism in us.
Yeah, I date women to save them.
Yes.
I know that sounds like I think it's noble. I know it's not. I know it's actually a narcissistic thing.
Yeah, because we're like two sides of the same coin, really. It's both a controlling tactic for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why people who are all up on that narc game should really not talk too much shit, because like I said before, what you fight against, you eventually become. And if you become so hardened and have no empathy at all for the narc,
mm-hmm.
which is a dangerous, slippery slope, I admit,
mm-hmm.
but if you just become a narc hater, eventually, you've become to the narc. You are the narc. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Just like a bunch of dorks that really hate jocks. You know,
yeah.
they beat up a jock together, one jock by himself, and all the dorks beat him up together. You, congrats, you are now the jock.
Yeah, exactly.
Silly goosters. And then number 7, what's on her phone? Is it all selfies? There's nothing wrong with selfies, but if you know a woman who seems to exclusively take selfies, paying all her attention to framing herself perfect, never thinking to grab a shot of her family, friends, or the world around her, yeah, that's a big narc red flag.
I don't like selfies.
I think selfies are mad gay. I will commit a selfie once in a while, but it's like usually I want to take a picture of like something else, not just my face. Like something's happening. I'm holding a giant grasshopper or something.
Yeah, that's not a selfie.
That's a me and a grasshopper.
Also, like,
well, I think
okay.
it technically is.
How about this? A selfie where you're doing like an internet face, and also you've hashtagged it a bunch of shit.
And also you're completely naked and masturbating in it.
And your dick's out.
Yeah.
I said out real quick.
Yeah. You let your canuckism slip. Well, I like to look at people's Instagram. If they have per row more than one tile or even one tile that's a self-portrait
uh-huh.
or a self-e, that's a narc to me.
Okay.
If it's 2 out of 3, that's a double bad narc. And if it's some people have every single tile, it's just them.
Yeah.
That's an uber narc.
Yeah.
A narc is so full of themselves, they have to take Uber everywhere because otherwise they'll crash from taking non-sub selfies.
Oh my goodness.
And it says now at the end of this article, which uh-huh. is on yourtango.com, your fucking tango.
Hey.
Women are just as capable at being narcissists as men are. If you have a hoe in your life who never seems to exhibit any empathy and who always wants to make things about her, she's probably a narc, and you should consider ditching the bitch.
Oh, man.
Friendships and relationships are all about give and take, which is something a true narc will never, ever understand.
Got real dramatic at the end of that article.
I know, because I heard the reverb on the
Did it tell point. You to read it like that?
It didn't, but I thought it should.
Cool.
Oh my God, I just slipped. I'm slipping down this rabbit hole of 5 signs they're cheating on you and how to investigate. That's a big thing with narcs. They're usually cheating on you.
Yeah. When I got cheated on, them, like really destroyed me for like a year and a half.
But it wasn't a reflection of you not being good enough. It's a reflection of the narcissist needing that, what they call it, narcissistic supply, which just means attention.
Mm.
Somebody like giving them positive attention. Oh, you're so great, you know, paying all attention to them.
Right.
They eat that like food because at their core,
yeah.
a demon is running the show.
You know what's weird is when I found out that she was cheating on me,
mm-hmm.
Remember I was saying how depressed I was before that?
Yeah.
When I found out, I actually felt some relief.
I know, like, because because these fucking pieces of shit convince you that you're crazy for thinking that they're doing exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they'll fucking spin your mind around.
Oh, man.
It's so fucked up.
And she was so competitive with my female friends. Like, it's crazy that they say, like, it's like... Well, I can't remember what the saying is, but it's about how cheaters always suspect other people of cheating.
Right, which is fucked up because, like, I was just in a situation mm-hmm. where I suspected someone of cheating, but I wasn't, and they used that on me.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I'm not, and you are, and yeah. I was right.
Oh, man.
So that's a caveat there.
Like cheating at checkers, right?
Like, yeah, because they were cheating at, actually, it was chess.
This is the board game podcast, right?
This is the Board of Narcs podcast. Oh, man. Yeah. Narcs will do that. And ultimately, they will destroy every sense of self that they can within you.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere you have porous boundaries, you know, I think the first day you got here, which was a week ago.
Isn't that crazy?
Happy week anniversary of staying at my house.
Thank you. I hadn't even met you before.
I know. Hey, I just met you. This is crazy. Here's my house. Come on in. It's hard to look right. Oh, yeah. I gotta look this up because I don't feel like I'm playing this song right.
That sounds pretty good.
Sounds kind of jumbo jumbo. But anyway, I was telling you a week ago, I don't remember now, that song totally just wiped my mind. You think that's a government, like, psyop? I think it is.
That combination of chords
yep.
makes you forget the shit you were trying to say that was important.
And those words. Because yeah. you just hear someone say, hey, I just met you. And you're like...
excited?
You're like, hey, I just met you. This is crazy. And then you're like, what were we talking about? Overthrowing the government? Never mind.
Indian food.
What time is it? Have we been doing this, Jalumbo? We're about a couple minutes away from the end.
I'm enjoying this.
I know. Isn't it fun to do a podcast? You just talk into a microphone yeah. and then other people listen to it.
You know what's great? I always do comedy podcasts. And this one's still funny, but I can also tell the story about my dad being a piece of shit and it's not weird.
Yeah, exactly. See, I like going outside of the... because when you go on a comedy podcast, you're expected to be funny.
Yeah.
When I go on stage to play a song, mm-hmm. I'm not. And so when I am funny, it becomes twice as funny
totally.
To me.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're very funny. You make me laugh all the time.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Remember when I was showing you what I recorded last night?
Uh-huh. That was funny.
You're funny.
And I don't even mean to be.
That's always been a big part of why I love your music.
Because it's funny?
The lyrics.
Or because there's little between songs snippets?
The thing, like all of it. But also, you can, I was telling you this the other day, like you've got the type of charisma where you can get away with both. And you can do a serious song as well, and then it's not weird, it's not out of place, you know?
Yeah, you know why? Because I'm not fronting. When people are living on Front Street and they're just, like, posing, posers, uh-huh. it's like, oh, well, here's your, like, purposeful, serious song, you know? Mm-hmm. Here's your record again, it's the same 12 songs, you got the 4 I'm cool songs, the 4 you suck songs,
mm-hmm.
you know, the 1, like, I'm sensitive song, and the 1, like, we're all, you know, this is my peeps song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, cool, nobody wanted to listen to the last one, and now nobody wants to listen to this one. Why don't you talk about how you really feel, because you have a soul in there.
Mm.
Asshole. I want to smell your soul.
Asshole.
Open up your soul, amigo.
He's referencing Ace Ventura.
An ace of base and oh, Dios mio. I just want to smell that soul, girl.
Ace of Base Ventura Boulevard.
I saw the sign. And it opened up my behind. Girl, I wanna smell your soul. Get it? Like asshole.
Oh, I get it.
Is it funny when you explain it? Probably not as much though. But girl, I still wanna smell your soul. Remember the like two Mexis during the like early aughts or something? like Ricky Martin.
Yeah, and what Enrique was the other? Iglesias.
Yeah, Enrique, such a freak. Hey, I know what you be doing on Saturdays. Enrique's open and stretching the butthole out so wide. Just trying to see what's inside
your Enrique.
Soul. Probably nothing because everybody's a robot. Oh, yeah, we were supposed to talk about that movie. But then World's End.
You're going to tell me a Shaun of the Dead story.
I was?
I thought so.
Oh, no. I think I was just going to say, I saw that movie. I felt like I had a story about it, but I don't know what it would be.
Maybe the story was that you saw it because you don't see any movies, so that was an event in itself.
But that was a long time ago. That was back when I lived with Jonah Ray, Billboard top-selling comedian guy.
Right.
All my friends are on top 10 lists. But some of them are just the top 10 pieces of shit. Yeah. You ever do freestyle improvised songs?
Not really.
Why? You should.
I don't know. I was telling you earlier, like, I've never even learned a cover song because I feel like if I'm playing guitar, I should be just writing. So I have a guilt complex, so I've never really done anything like that.
That's tight, though. You know what? I often find covers to be a waste of time, except that other people like listening to them.
It's true.
Sometimes I really like to play them, because they're so much fun.
My band covers Prince live, and I really enjoy it.
Who does?
My band.
Oh, what song?
Kiss.
You don't know how to play it, though? You're just singing?
I sing it. I'm a lead singing artist.
Lazy is what I also call that. No, or you do all the work behind the scenes, more likely, so you can be lazy for an hour on stage.
I am not lazy on stage.
I know, you have to jump.
Cartwheels, trust falls.
Trust funds.
Trust funds. Trust fund students.
Trust fund falls. Hippies. I get some bitch with a trust fund to fall in my lap, and then she sucks on my dick, and it goes like that for an hour.
Oh, that sounds like a nice afternoon.
White power, that's what I say. Don't say that, that's racist. Now you gotta get a black chick to suck that dick so you don't look racist. Ratchet.
Racist. Racist.
Ratchet. What does ratchet mean?
It means of low quality.
Oh, man.
You call someone a ratchet ass hoe.
Someone called me a ratchet once in a parking lot.
You're not a ratchet.
I was wearing a tool belt and a tutu at the time, though, so it makes sense.
Oh,
so
they were talking about your ratchet that you had. Maybe they were asking to borrow it.
I was bending over and looking in my car. I think the sweet guy I was with told me that a ratchet just means someone who hangs out in parking lots.
This was sweet gentleman.
He was so sweet.
For all that guy knew, you were just fixing your car.
For all he knew, I was just being a prostitute in the CVS parking lot.
What's wrong with that?
I don't think anything is something, and I like to do a lot.
One of the first conversations me and you had is that you'd probably be like a really good prostitute.
I would, because when you love what you do, you don't have to work a day in your life. I said, that's a blow privilege sign, not a blow job, come on. But, you know, then I would start hating one of my favorite activities because I would, just like when I became a professional musician, I was like, I hate fucking playing music now.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got narcissistically abused and my mind got turned inside out. Then I liked playing my music again. No Doubt was my favorite band to play. Gwen Stefani. Right? Sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm walking in the spider web of narcissists in my hand. Yeah. And he took all my money. And he convinced me that I didn't have drug addiction problems. I just had ADD, and if I took his Adderall, I'd be better. And that sounds so crazy now, but in the time, it seemed like it made sense. Why would somebody give you the hard sell on taking their drugs if they didn't really think it was going to fix your ADD, which was your obvious life problem, which was not true?
ADHD.
AI.
Definition.
It was actually AIDZ.
Z.
It was early aughts AIDS with a Z.
Someone told me the other day that AIDS was originally called grids.
Yes, that was me.
Was that you?
That was me.
Gay related.
Gay Rilla biscuits.
That's so funny. Crazy that that was like a government term.
A grid? It was like gross rectal infection disorder syndrome.
See, the government thought jizz started with a G.
Oh, maybe it did back in the 90s.
That's where they changed it to AIDS when they realized jizz, they fucked up.
Jizz rectum infection disorder semen. I think it's what it stood for. But my mom's best friend had grids.
Oh.
Or maybe he just had AIDS right when it became AIDS.
Or he had grits.
It doesn't pay to be cutting edge eating your grids for breakfast. That shit is gross, bleh. So disgusting when you got purple lesions on your face that are busting open, yeah. And pus is coming out. Yuck. And then your butthole pink socks, just like the guy who was lifting weights. I got a pink sock. Aye, 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 aye. It wasn't a good time, no. When your butthole comes inside out of itself. Because you don't practice anal health. When you're down at the glory hole and your butthole won't stay closed. This is a good song.
It's called Glory Ho.
And I'm singing glory, hallelujah, at the glory, glory hole. And I wish I blew you down there. Yeah, but I wouldn't have known because it's all, what's the word for it, bro? Anonymous. Just like alcoholics. When you're getting felch and you're calling out bollocks, you shouldn't do that, because if you're British, everybody will know that the Prince of England just felched them now. Oh, wow. Getting felched by royalty. Don't have a cow. It happens all the time to me. I'm Annie Hardy. Don't you know I'm a narc supreme? And in Europe, that just means with cheese or something. It's a narc supreme. But in L.A., it just means with sour cream, and that's what I've got. Every time you check my underwear a lot. Sour, sour cream. Shadoobie. Isn't that a Prince song? Cream, shadoobie?
Yeah.
Sour cream, shadoobie. But you know what? I'm starving.
He's vegan, so he wouldn't be eating any of that.
Rest in peace, Prince.
Yeah.
You're the Prince of England.
You felcher.
You felcher, Anonymous. You felcher. You delcher. You felched it, you dealt it. I guess that's the kind of the key of the story. If you felched it, you did dealt it. Because you came in that person's butthole and then you sucked it out with a straw.
Cool, let's go eat.
Yeah, let's go have some sloppy diarrhea looking Indian food.
Yeah.
With a side of white. Grids come. Grids for breakfast again? Yep. You know that's my specialty, Mom. Why am I cooking dinner for my mom? It's my AIDS, pre-AIDS day come. Oh, no. Because this is a devil's world we live in, and that's how it goes down. When we eat dinner, we should watch that video of why 2017 is so demonic.
Yeah,
I'm gonna see if there's a second installation, if it is even Asian. I don't even know. That's just stuff in America. Okay, folks, if you have listened to tonight's show and you're like, oh, shit, I'm dating a narc, what can you do? What do they do? Kevi, do you know what they do?
What do they do if they're dating a narc? Yeah. Or what do narcs do?
No, what do they do if they discover they're dating a narc? What's their next action? What do you think? I know.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer would be to just get the fuck away from him.
Yes.
But it's tricky.
Because the narc is like a drug dealer.
Or like a drug itself, because yes. Then you'll feel guilty about leaving them.
That's correct. Especially if you are Captain Save-A-Ho and you're like, I don't know what will happen. Where will she go? Where do we go? Where do we go now? Doesn't matter. Just kick that hoe out. Hey, yeah, yeah. You know that she be narking every night when she's out in the park and blowing homeless dudes for fun because she just needs a little bit of attention. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, oh, no. Don't you fuck with them narc, narc hoes. Narc, narc. Who's there? I don't know. Get away from me, bitch. We're going no contact. That didn't rhyme, but that's
Captain
what you're supposed to do. It's me, Captain Sabaho, I should have said.
You should have said sincerely signing off, Captain Sabaho. Yeah.
So if you're dating a narc, what do? You just say, fuck off. You gotta go tell him to get out of your cum trough. This is my cum trough. You don't know. Go to the park with the homeless so you can suck their dicks because you love it. And it's now legal to be a homeless, just like in Vancouver, where the mayor smokes crack. Every day is spent on his back. You said his dad, like mayor?
Yeah, he's from Toronto, Tom Ford.
Tom Ford Modeling Agency. Smoke crack every day, every night, and then go to the glory home, fuck some guy. All right. Yeah, just tell him no contact. I mean, we'll get more into this again. That is the hardest part, is that you are actually in love with the one-third of them that's human, but the two-third of them that's demon, who hates you and is here to destroy you and hopefully make you commit suicide, take everything, eat your soul. You're not in love.
Felt your soul.
Yeah, felt your soul.
I got felched up once in high school.
You did? By a teacher?
Yeah.
Tight. I saw a lot of that on that video I was telling you about.
Anytime I see these teachers that are women that sleep with, like, a young dude, I'm always, like, sick.
I know. And now there's ones that are sleeping with young chicks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, come like see me after class. Yes. Okay. Scissor me after class.
We're gonna play. Bring your scissors?
Yeah, we're going to play Ouija board and scissor.
Right.
Summon some demon spirits tonight while we scissor. Let's hear it for white privileged teachers. You know, a lot of teachers are witches, but that's a topic for another show.
Bitches, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't do well in high school.
They're both. Don't you be a fool. They just give you a bad rate. You were like Mensa, and then you just went to Pensacola,
Florida,
and got some creepy Florida
Horridas,
saving up all them crazy
porridge
bowls, and the china sets that they need all four of on QVC.
That's an STD.
Come on, me. Queer QVC, queer vagina, come.
Trough.
Indeed, in Arizona, where Indian guys want to sleep in the backyard and cry.
Bonya,
thank you. My friend from high school, Gina Shibona.
Oh, good name.
Shout out to Gina. All right, well, thanks for listening to Empath of Least Resistance. Kevy, thanks for being my guest co-host. This was so fun.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
We must do it again.
I love that.
And you guys listening, go out there in the world, spread love and not your butt cheeks. And we'll be back next week on Empath of Least Resistance.